Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This is Computer Talk with Tab, hosted by Eric Semmel of Tab Computer Systems. Interact with Eric and his guest by phone at 522-WTIC. Email them in the studio at gethelp@tabinc.com or get help anytime at computertalkwithtab.com. Now, here's Eric.
And good morning. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Dennis.
That's Dennis Halnan. He's one of the employee owners at Tab. Comes in and helps me out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. Yes, it's chilly out, so you can cuddle up with your computer. Turn it on. It'll warm up the room. You know, stay nice and cozy
with
your PC.
Put your hands on the monitor.
Yeah. And we'll help you out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. So get online early. You guys always call around 10:30, a half an hour before the show ends. So you're all snoozing, I guess, this morning. But get online, 860-522-9842, and we will do our best to help you out. Speaking of helping you out, we always talk about technology news we think you can use or find interesting. Mm-hmm. And there's been some interesting discussions across the pond over at the Reg, right, Dennis?
Oh, yeah. It's at the Reg, and it's all over the British media. This is a major scandal there.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, we're not hearing a lot about it here.
No.
But what happened was the British Post Office,
yes,
for many, many years,
yep,
used some accounting software called Horizon,
yep,
that was developed by Fujitsu.
Not developed, but purchased by.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
And Fujitsu here is known for things like scanners. Right. And I think they made laptops for a while, too.
Fujitsu? Yeah, they did.
Yeah, they did. Do they still do it?
I don't think so. Okay. They make scanners and stuff like that, I think.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. But that's where you're going to see that name. But
yeah,
over around the world, they have all kinds of stuff that they sell. And that's one of them, is yep, this accounting software. Well, through the, 20-something years that the British Post Office was using this software.
Yeah, since 1999.
There were 900 people that worked in the post office called
sub-postmasters.
They're essentially clerks that yeah, work in the post office.
Yep.
They have been prosecuted for crimes like theft, embezzlement, theft of services, different
right,
things like that.
Yeah.
Because of glitches in the accounting software that made it appear
right,
that they had been on the take.
Yep.
But they weren't.
Right.
Everything
was. I
mean,
some
was,
of them could have been, but in this case,
well,
they were.
Okay, out of 900,
yeah,
there might be a couple that are guilty. Okay,
right,
I'll give you that.
Right.
Okay. Now, the problem is that the software itself was producing weird numbers that
right,
didn't jibe with reality, and that's where this came from.
Right. And the other thing that's kind of amazing is that a post office would check the numbers, but we won't even go there. let's continue.
So we have a whole lot of people over a period of many years who have been
right,
prosecuted because of flaws in software.
Right.
The other issue is that the post office didn't have access to all of the accounting data and reports
right,
that might have tipped them off
right,
that there was an issue.
And they knew about this issue.
They knew about the issue at some point during this time.
Right.
The real problem is that the government there is trying to find out is exactly when somebody knew what and how they knew it and
right,
and how that information got passed around inside the management of the British Postal Service.
Yeah.
But this is a major scandal, and
right now there are
parliamentary hearings about it. Mm-hmm. One of the CEOs of the group within Fujitsu that was responsible for this, had to go before Parliament and apologize.
Yes.
And he did. I mean, he didn't. What I'm reading here is that he didn't make any bones about it. He just said, we're sorry. We're morally responsible. Mm-hmm. We did this. We need to compensate people. I mean, he just laid it all out. Yeah. Of course, it took him, 24 years to do it?
Right.
But
speed of government.
You know, and speed of government and corporate speed. This is an example of what I call product lock.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it affects not just government agencies, but businesses.
Well, sure.
You get, when you've bought a product, a computing product, and you're using it.
Right.
You are now on a track.
Correct.
Okay. You are on that company, that developer's track.
Right.
Now, if there's something wrong with the software or it just doesn't do something you need it to do.
Right.
You can either deal with that.
And admit it.
And then compensate for it somehow, or you can say, all right, I'm dropping this and I'm going to go to something else.
Mm-hmm.
There is usually a very large expense with that.
Right. Head
start rolling. There's a lot of, migration headaches, and training that has to get done. There's a lot of stuff. So a lot of businesses and, government agencies will just stay with products that in a lot of cases just really isn't good enough.
Right.
And in some cases can have terrible flaws like this one did.
Right.
But they don't go to something else because they're stuck.
It reminds me of a story we talked about with there's a requirement, I think, in the government that they had to have CIO approval of all software. And it turns out like more than 30% of software that was being utilized or implemented had no CIO approval. So nobody was paying attention to how these softwares were implemented or how they might have worked or how they integrate. There was no CIO overseeing it and saying, yeah, this is a good idea. They just had – just any bureaucrat would buy a package and say, let's go. We're going to go with this.
Yeah.
There's your product lock. So these poor folks were majorly impacted by the lack of quality control and management of these things. I mean, 900 people, that is awful.
Oh, yeah. And a lot of them are still livid. And another aspect of the scandal doesn't really deal with the technology or the people responsible for it.
Yeah.
Is that the legal system in Britain
hasn't
really caught up with the fact that all these people were illegitimately prosecuted and a lot of them haven't had their convictions overturned yet.
Jeez.
And there seems to be a lot of stalling there.
Mm.
And
that's
the explanation for that is also going to be coming. I'm sure there are going to be hearings just dealing with that. But right now, it's about the software, and that's what's hitting the papers over there.
All right.
And it's a big lesson for everybody here to learn.
Is it? I'm not sure we'll learn it.
Well, okay. We should learn it. Will we?
I don't know.
Unfortunately, no.
Not until we get some artificial intelligence.
Oh,
really? See what happens. In other news, university chops students' Microsoft 365 storage to 20 gigabytes. Basically, they're sacrificing its academic backups for the sake of the environment, they say.
The environment?
Yes, Microsoft's decision to cut the storage in its Microsoft 365 education line is having some real-world consequences with a Canadian university, imposing a draconian measure, partly in response to the restrictions. So basically, they're doing it to save the planet. Students were warned that they would have a 20-gigabyte limit that would be foisted upon their OneDrive storage because basically they are saying that the carbon footprint of your files is just too much to bear.
What?
Yes. Stored files that are no longer in use have an impact on our carbon footprint, with over half of all data stored by organizations not serving a useful purpose, unquote.
Wait. Microsoft knows that all of this data doesn't serve any useful purpose?
Yes.
They must have been reading it all.
Yeah, well, there's that. Kind of training their AI. But So it's you've got Microsoft with their 365 cloudy service that is saying, we don't want you to keep putting stuff out there, students, because it's unnecessary. It's useless. you just can't make this up, right? So wait, you're saying my document that I created back in when I was doing an anthropology class, you're saying that that is no longer worth saving? Come on.
Well, worse than that, what if you're a graduate level academic and you've been involved in, you know, laboratory studies and you've collected a lot of data?
Right.
Having to do with that.
Right.
And that data is no good anymore?
Or maybe you're the next Einstein. You took all sorts of, you know, he took a whole bunch of notes somewhere, and you go find Einstein's notebooks. You're like, oh my gosh, did you know he knows how to open a black hole? Well, no, we didn't know that, but we read his notebook, and now we can open a black hole. Well, here in Microsoft, we're going to be deleting it. So let's hope you're not.
Because that is useless data.
Exactly. So for some reason, it's to save the planet. But really, it's what is it here? The storage of this dark data takes up space.
Dark data.
This is what it's called. Dark in quotes. Takes up space on servers and results in increased electricity consumption, generating 4% of global greenhouse gas emissions in 2020 alone. So 4%.
College students' useless data is 4% of global warming emissions.
Right. Exactly. So then you ask yourself, wait a minute, wouldn't they still have the servers whether they had data on it or not? The hard drives are the hard drives of the hard drives.
Right. They're there. Yeah. The machines are running.
Yeah. And for some reason, the dark data is causing 4%.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
So thank you, Microsoft, for saving the planet with your. I mean, those guys have some immense data centers, right? Monstrous data centers out there.
Oh, huge.
And they're just consuming up more and more electricity and all the fossil fuels to keep those suckers running. Of course, the generators that are out there backing them up are topped off with nice diesel fuel.
Oh,
You know, they don't have a windmill attached to their data centers, I'm sorry to say. So it is nice to know that college students are the problem. thank you, Microsoft. Tell us what we don't know.
They've just saved the planet.
Right. Here's another one. Potentially unused files, McGill said this week. They require a lot of electrical energy for the billions of files to be kept alive 24/7, as well as ensuring their security. This electrical energy generates more and more excess heat. And we need to curb this dangerous trend.
Wait a minute. They just talked about security.
Yes.
So now extra firewalls have to be run to protect all the data that's got to be.
Yes. Oh. So students, it's your fault. And it has nothing to do with busing kids from stores to Hartford so they can take classes in Hartford because they didn't make it into UConn. That diesel usage of those buses, that's okay. Nobody's counting that. But your Microsoft 365 account, 4% of global warming. Thank you, students.
Oh.
I'll put this up here for you to read. We're going to go step out for a quick break. Get online, guys. There's four wide open lines. Don't have Dennis and I have all the fun by ourselves. 860-522-9842 is the number. We'll be right back.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
From the Carter Mario Injury Lawyer Studios, visit GetCarter.com. That's GetCarter.com. This is Computer Talk with Tab.
And we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Dennis.
And we hope your dark data is not warming the globe the way Microsoft 365 student data is. We're here till 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online. 860-522-9842 is the number. Four lines wide open for you. Here to help you out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. I got a troubleshooting story for you.
Oh, please.
So you know, the smoke detectors, right? We've talked about them. Very important. If you, you're thinking about, if you haven't done anything with your smoke detectors, get them changed out. Put the 10-year smoke detectors in there and have your home protected by smoke detector, because basically fires occur due to space heaters and all that fun stuff. But that's not why I'm talking about it. So I have a little property, and my son's living there with his girlfriend, or fiance, sorry. And she's there, and she hears a chirp. Yeah, it must be a smoke detector.
Mm-hmm.
So she goes and tries to find a smoke detector, takes it off the wall, thinks she found it. She brings the smoke detector upstairs, takes the battery out, still hears a chirp.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So she's hunting around the place trying to find the smoke detector, and she can't find it. And we discern with our troubleshooting that it could be an old smoke detector that's buried in a ceiling, because we had the ceiling replaced, and the contractor just could have left it hanging on top of a beam, right? And I guess it's a common thing, because we did some research on it, and it's a common thing. And so we're like, okay, guys, come over our house and hang out, you know, for that evening, so you wouldn't hear a chirp all night. Maybe it'll just go away. So they come back. They go back up. They come to our house, stay over, and the next morning they go back, and the chirping's gone. So, oh, we solved the problem. It must have ran out of batteries inside the ceiling. All good.
Okay.
6 days later, the chirping comes back.
Oh, no.
6 days later. And so we're looking around trying to find where the chirping is coming from. She's still trying to find where it's going, what's going on. She's being driven nuts by this chirping. And again, we think it's in the roof, so my wife and I were prepared to take hammer to the ceiling to try to find this smoke detector to try to stop it from tripping, because it will drive you bonkers. And then I went on Reddit. And this is the thing about troubleshooting, right? And the reason I bring this up is we were looking in one direction for this problem. And everyone told us it had to be basically a buried smoke detector in the ceiling, because that's the only thing that made sense. There was no other smoke detectors in the house tripping. It had to be that the project produced the problem.
Okay.
Right? And then I just stumbled upon this Reddit article as I'm troubleshooting this thing. And the contractor said, by the way, if you have a carbon monoxide detector, they have batteries in them too. And we happened to have one literally that would be at her feet at the same location above where the smoke detector was chirping.
Okay.
And it was chirping exactly like a smoke detector. And just down to her feet was a carbon monoxide detector that its battery had died.
Oh.
But these things don't light up. They don't tell you they're chirping. You have to hear them. And that chirp is so annoying. So I just asked her to look down. I was like, could that be chirping? Turns out it was. That kind of troubleshooting, I mean, we were literally going to take a hammer to the ceiling, because she thought it was coming from the ceiling.
Right.
But it was literally coming at her feet, because it was plugged into the wall.
Oh.
I just tell you this because when you're dealing with IT people, right, any kind of IT issue, you send the IT person down a direction, right? And she sent us down a direction where we were almost going to tear out the roof, the ceiling, right? Mm-hmm. And again, hopefully I would have gotten there and I would have heard the chirp and I would have said, hey, it's right here to your left. But
right.
I mean, I'm a little older. I shouldn't be able to hear that directional chirp. No. She should be. But we won't go there.
Oh.
But if you send us on a direction, IT people on a direction, they tend to focus on that direction because
yes.
They believe you.
Yes.
And the thing about IT is, and if you've known me for the past 30 years, when you're troubleshooting, you need to be a little cynical.
Oh, yes.
All right? You have to take it with 100%. A grain of salt. The problem in being that way sometimes is that you are already just, as far as I approach it, I will take what you say is true until it makes no sense.
Mm-hmm.
And there's IT people, though, that will follow along because they trust what you're saying is true. And they'll work on it and work on it and work on it, and it's not solving the problem, and you're getting frustrated and frustrated, but you're telling them where to go.
Right.
But it really was at your ankles, at your feet, is where the problem was. So then you get the IT person who's cynical with you, and you're like, you know, that person is just, you know, I don't like that, his attitude or his approach or her approach, whatever. And then you have this issue where the cynical IT person just doesn't believe what you're saying, because why? You're a user. Right? And as a user, you're like my son's fiance, and she's pointing up when it's down, right? And so as an IT person, you have to tread that, you have to be on that fine line between, okay, I trust what you're saying, user, but it doesn't make any logical sense what you're saying. And then and then they get angry or frustrated with you.
Right.
But really, it's at your ankles. No, I swear it's in the ceiling. No, it's at your ankle. It's just crazy in IT and troubleshooting. I'm sure it happens in all sorts of fields, right? Yeah. Not just ours.
Right.
HVAC, I mean, all these companies have all these type of troubleshooting issues. And I just found it interesting that literally a week later, when she called, my wife and I were ready to hop in the car and tear the ceiling apart. But it wasn't that. So I don't know. Oh. Just a little insight into IT troubleshooting. I mean, Dennis, you've dealt with it every day.
Oh, yeah.
And what you do. And it's like you can be sent down a primrose path by the user.
Yeah.
And you
can be.
You know, every time I do this, this happens.
Yeah. Well, just yesterday, I had an incident like that where a user was telling me something.
Yeah.
I wasn't sure.
Right.
And I asked her to send me a photo. And then I found out what was going on.
It
was kind of what she was saying,
but not.
But the description wasn't registering with me the right way.
Right.
So it was a case of miscommunication, but the photo was the truth.
There it is.
And that was it.
That's all you needed is to see it to believe it. We're going to be here until 11 o'clock. So get online. So Tom in Harmington, hang on. Three lines open for you. 860-522-9842 is the number. No matter where you are on the planet, if you're using a cell phone, it probably won't cost you anything. So get online, just some time of your day. 860-522-9842 is the number. We'll be right back. And we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Dennis.
And we are here till 11 o'clock. One line open for you. Thank you for waking up and joining us. 860-522-9842 is the number. And we're here to help you out if we can. At least not make it worse. That's our goal, right, Dennis?
That's right.
Do no harm.
Do no harm is the old byline.
So let's go to Tom first in Harwinton. Hey, Tom, what can we do for you, sir?
Good morning and Happy New Year, guys.
Oh, you too.
Hey.
So I haven't heard you discuss this, and I learned about this last weekend, mm-hmm. and there were all kinds of fixes to download and make changes to your computer, which I am absolutely not willing to do. And it has to do with the security update for Windows problem. I mean, I can give you the exact message and the number of the software update and the error code I got, mm-hmm. but I assume you know what I'm talking about.
Well, across our base, I'm not sure we've seen too much of it. Have you seen it, Dennis?
I haven't seen too many problems with Windows updates lately. Knock wood. You hear that?
All right.
He's knocking something over.
Right. So, let me read you what I got here. It says 2024-01, security update for Windows 10 version 22 H2 for x64-based systems, KB5034441. Status, download error. And apparently the error code is 0x800070643. It has to do with a partition not being large enough.
Mm.
Oh.
That could be.
Well, yeah, it could be either a phantom where the computer thinks the partition isn't big enough for whatever reason when it's trying to apply the update, or you might actually have not enough space. We're looking this up now.
Yeah, and we are seeing some folks talking about it, and we may not have seen it in our base because we may choose a default partition size that isn't impacted if it's an actual partition issue, or it could be that Microsoft quote-unquote thinks your partition is incorrect by misreading the geometry of the partition.
Well, all the updates went successfully, and the computer's running okay because I did it last night because I waited an extra week. I normally wait a week, but this time I waited an extra week, And I thought, well, I don't know, maybe by now it's fixed. But everything seems to be running okay. So I'm thinking I can just ignore this, but I'm also wondering, am I going to see this error every time I do a Windows update monthly?
Well, that could be. But I would tell you, if your machine is running, you can ignore it.
That's good. Always like ignoring things.
Yes. Well, you know, that little pain you have there, it keeps you could ignore that.
Yeah, if you can't fix it, ignore it.
It's not a tumor. What, do you find something here?
Well, yeah. Actually, Mike G. found something.
Yes,
this article has an interesting take on this that I wouldn't have thought of.
Yeah.
The problem is that the Windows recovery environment partition is not
small.
Large enough. Now, this is not a partition that you would normally be working with. You wouldn't see it. You know, looking at your computer, it wouldn't be part of the C drive. It is an invisible extra partition that is used while Windows is booting up, and it's also used during the update process while it's swapping code from C drive to, while it's changing the code that is on C drive and then copying new code on top of it, and it uses it as a swap area.
Yep.
And it may be that that partition needs to be increased in size.
And we have seen Windows issues caused by the things that were trying to save you from Windows issues.
Right.
And this is the case. So it could be that. So I would ignore it. It looks like Microsoft didn't test something.
Yeah. The solution here is not to actually increase that partition size. You don't want to tamper with that. Trust me. Not a place you want to go to.
No.
They should be modifying that particular update so that it won't bump into that particular problem.
It's bloatware. It's an issue of bloatware.
Yeah. They made the update itself too large to do what it's supposed to do, and then it bumps into the limit on this drive, and then you get the error.
But
they've got to fix that.
But we're not bloat-shaming Microsoft.
No, we never do that.
No.
Never do that.
So that's what's going
on. So it sounds like maybe they're going to correct this, and maybe next time when there's an update, it'll get installed and it won't be a problem.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I like that you put maybe in front of it.
I was going to say maybe because you never know.
Mm-hmm. So.
All right.
All right, Tom.
Good. Thank you. So I'm just going to ignore it and go my merry way.
Sounds good. Merry way is good. Thanks, Tom.
Okay. Yep. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. But yeah, we've seen plenty of errors caused by the things that are supposed to save you from Microsoft. Not working properly. It's a kind of a frustrating thing.
Very.
Move on to your next caller here. We're going to go all the way down to New London and see what Kent's got cooking. What's happening, Kent?
How you guys doing?
Good. How are you?
Great. Appreciate your show. You've helped me more times than I can tell you.
Oh, thanks. Thanks for telling us that. We figure we're doing something for somebody. We just don't know for who.
Well, it definitely has helped me out. So I have a question. I have a Dell Inspiron 2-in-1. It's almost 4 years old. And about 16 months ago or so, the processor fan went. You know, I got the screen that came up on boot up saying that there was an issue with the processor fan. You could hear it squealing horribly. Oh, yeah. Yeah. It was really bad.
Yeah.
So I popped the back cover off. Sure enough, it was spinning. It was spinning okay, but it was definitely making the noise. So I did some research, found one that had decent reviews on eBay, $25 later, got that in, put it in, and for about the last, like I said, about the last 12, 16 months, it's been running okay without issue. And then just last week, I booted my laptop back up again, and once again, the squeal is there, and, you know, the error that says we can't communicate with your processor fan, and, you know, right at boot up, so you have to get through it, and you can definitely tell that it runs a little hotter.
Yep.
So I don't run it for very long, so I don't want to have a problem with overheating anything.
Right.
Other than replacing this processor fan again, is there anything to do hardware-wise or software-wise to prevent these issues, or did I just get lucky with the roulette wheel on this laptop?
Well, I would first ask you how dusty your house is.
It's not too bad.
I'm just
kidding. When I took the cover off the first time, I, you know, hit it with the compressed air.
Right.
And there wasn't a whole lot of dust that came out. I don't normally do that as part of the process. It usually just sits on my desk and turn it on when I need it and turn it off when I don't.
I mean, I was half joking, but the environment can impact the performance of the internal fans. They can get clogged. They can get impacted. You clearly have a bearing issue on this fan again.
Yeah, what I'm wondering is if there's something wrong with the power management.
Power management?
Because it may be causing the fan to spin a little bit faster than it's designed to handle.
And then burns out the bearings.
Because it's getting like, you know, an extra, you know, 0.2 volts or something of electricity.
Yeah.
It's hitting it, and it's just going beyond its tolerances. So whatever fan you put in may get, you know, literally burned up over time.
And it's not too expensive to replace it. You've done it before. The machine works fine elsewise?
Other than that, the machine works great, which is why I don't want to have to replace the machine. Even though it's, like I said, it's almost 4 years old now, but it still runs great.
Yeah, you should get at least 6 or more years out of your stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I at this point, I wouldn't advocate replacing it. I'd just put in a new fan. If you know how to do it and you can do it safely, and it's a cheap part. It is a cheap part. Yeah. So go ahead.
It's a very cheap part, which is what worried me the first time. I thought this was way too cheap.
Yeah, I would really be thinking the same thing myself.
Yeah. Check the reviews. Maybe there's
it's got to cost me more. This can't be right.
Buy two of them.
Well, the other issue, it could be that all of these fans were part of the same manufacturing run.
Right.
And they might all have the same defect built into them.
Yes. That happens, sadly, a lot.
It does happen.
It does, and I know that this is an issue, I think, with this model of laptop. I mean, I'm not the only one. When I did some research the first time, I saw that it was a problem.
Yep.
Not with everyone, but yeah. Okay, well, I just wanted to see if there's anything that I should look at.
No, I mean, aside from, again, if you had a lot of dust and an environmental issue where it's working hard and it actually is then overworked in the same way that you get the overvoltage thought by Dennis,
right.
It could shorten the life, I guess.
Yeah, okay.
So buy another fan.
I don't need the same money all the time either, so it's not accumulating dust, sucking dust up into it.
Yep. No, just another bad fan. Get a new one and move on.
Yeah.
Here we go. All right. Well, I appreciate it, guys. Thank you so much for your help.
Our pleasure. Mm-hmm. Thank you for calling, Kent.
All right. Have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye. So I got a refrigerator that works that way.
Really?
Yes. I mean, I can't tell you how many – there's a fan in that stupid thing. That actually takes the air from the freezer and blows it into the refrigerator.
Okay.
Exactly. That's what I said. Okay.
Yeah.
And the problem is it goes on a regular basis, and I need a $150 service call from a guy who comes out and says, yep, it's failed again, Eric. When are you going to replace this darn refrigerator? It's the third time.
Oh, no.
So when you hear it groan, so you're sitting there watching TV, and you hear your refrigerator go, aww. You know you're in trouble. We're going to step out for a quick break. Get back to your calls. 860-522-9842 is the number. Sherry, hang on. Three lines open for you. We'll be right back. And we are back. Feel free to get online, 860-522-9842. I know you're trying to stay warm, so you can just fire up your computer and cuddle up with that and contribute to whatever percentage of greenhouse gases. We had a story earlier about students. It's good to know students are the problem. Dark data on Microsoft 365 by students is contributing 4% of the greenhouse gases. So students, you just go back to paper and pencil. You are the problem. Has nothing to do with being bused from stores to Hartford because you didn't make it into stores. No. You can use those diesel buses all day long. It's your 365 account that is the problem. We knew it was something. And so I'm sure you're hanging your head in shame and you'll start deleting right now.
Oh, yeah.
Save the planet, delete your data. We're going to... that's what Microsoft is doing. Let's get to Sherry in Plainville next.
How's it going?
Morning, Sherry.
I need to tell you that my phone fixed itself. The bag of rice, which it may have had.
Yes.
It. I can't swear that was the problem, wetness, but it's back. It's happy.
Yeah. So you put it in the rice, 24 hours.
I did peek once.
You peaked once, and then you turned it back on, and it worked.
And it worked, but it could have just been completely dead from who knows something else. But I have it's an iPhone 8. I'm actually looking for a new phone, but I'm with AT&T. I looking for a recommendation.
Mm. Well,
a company, a phone. I don't do much with my phone, but email.
So
use it as a telephone. So I don't need
too much.
One of these great photography types or.
Mm-hmm. I'm a fan of the Pixel line. I like unlocked phones too, so you're not stuck with a carrier, and you can use an eSIM. They're called. So, although the Pixel could be expensive, if you actually use the Google Fi service, it drops the price pretty heavily down in that 300 plus range. So I would tell you to look at the Pixel line, the unlocked line, so that if someday you don't like whatever carrier they're using, you can choose a new carrier. You're seeing a lot of new offerings out there from cell phone carriers to try to compete, finally, thanks to...
Well, right. Now, I get the plus of my iPhone is it's with AT&T. It's the plus and the minus, and there's a store at the bottom of my street when I have a question.
Yeah, that's nice.
And then the store right next door is the Comcast store, which says, oh, we can give you cheaper telephone services if you add it on to our hideous...
TV service, yeah.
TV service. with Pixel Line, is there a person I can talk to when I need to?
So the answer is yes. Google Chat is amazingly good. Their tech support is really awesome. And they're very fast to respond to you on the support line, too. It's ridiculous.
Well, I don't have to go to an Apple store.
No, it'd be a Pixel. You'd no longer be an Apple user. You'd be a Google user.
Happy.
Yeah.
No, you'd be, no, I'm not going to promise happiness. But I think the ability to go to anywhere you want to, having that ability to let your carrier go and not be locked into something is nice when it comes down to the unlocked phones, you know, your eSIM. So you're not stuck with that brand forever. You can make a choice. So take a look at it. Apple has all sorts of great solutions too. You know, you can go with the next Apple. They're up to Apple, 17 or something like that? You have an 8?
What is it up to? 17, I think.
Yeah, so you seem to be a little behind.
I'm Luddite behind. So that's my my next question. Is there a job? Is there a person out there that would answer questions for non-business types? Like I'm a residential customer that would talk to me about getting off, unplugging from the internet with my television and
cutting the cable.
Yeah.
So the best, you can talk to people. There are CompuHuts out there still that you could go into in your local neighborhood that you can chat with those people about this type of thing. But you can go on the web, and you know, cord cutter websites are out there like crazy to kind of explain how simple it is. You just got to get past understanding that your cable TV no longer has to come over that old line. It can simply be streamed via the internet now that bandwidths are what they are. As long as you have enough bandwidth, and in this case, you know, you really only need about 50 megabits of bandwidth to stream most things. You don't need to go crazy. But the smallest bandwidths out there these days, you're probably going to see 150 or more for your bandwidth. And then you can just stream whatever service you want. And it can be expensive as you a la carte it, or it can be affordable depending on the bundle you get with the whether it's Sling or FUBU or YouTube TV. There's all sorts of options out there. And all of them, most of them, offer local programming, so you'll see your local channels.
Oh, so because that's what we worry about is that the UConn coverage gets changed from channel to channel every year. They decide to put it someplace else, and not every.
That's maddening.
Company has those channels, and you could get those with non-cable.
You can, depending on the package. However. The NFL really pissed off a lot of people by putting one of those playoff games on Peacock streaming only.
Right.
Oh, but I get Peacock free from Comcast, so I'm okay.
Right, which is, again, against net neutrality, but who's talking? Right. But you got lucky there. Lots of us had to go find a password.
Free. My other one question, when I need a new computer to do any kind of banking, but that's what could I get that's inexpensive that apparently I just do finance on it and nothing else?
Yeah.
So is that the way to keep it safe and separate?
Well, we've talked about this. Clark Howard has talked about this. Chromebooks were kind of hoping to be that promised solution, a cheap.
Right, that's what I was.
But the problem,
in the back of my mind.
Yeah, the problem with Chromebooks is because they're battling with Microsoft, you can't do other things on them. And the apps are really not optimized for Chromebooks. It's a sad state of affairs.
Another problem is that any given Chromebook model might be only supported with updates for like 3 years.
Yeah, we've
after
seen
you bought it.
Yeah.
And after that point, you aren't going to want to use it for finance because it could be unsecured. Yeah, I mean, yeah. It's not ideal.
Okay, so do I need a separate piece of equipment though?
Some of the better recommendations would be an inexpensive laptop or whatever that you would use only for those things. You have to be very disciplined to not, when that computer's open, start surfing the internet and making hotel reservations after you just finished doing whatever finance, right? Because the idea here is that you're not going to go surfing to open yourself up or get any email on that machine that could open yourself up to a hack by keeping it separate. That's the theory.
Okay, so what's an inexpensive laptop that I'm only going to check my bank account?
Might be looking at, you know, maybe a $500 or $600 laptop.
Yeah.
Something in that low-end range. And that's right. You're saying, wow, that's still expensive.
Yeah. Well,
just to do your banking. Your phone, your cell phone can do it too, though. Your iPad can do it pretty well too. I mean, the banking apps are much better.
I suppose she might also get an Android tablet.
Mm-hmm. But it wasn't the right way to do it.
Say that again?
Can I do my banking on my phone and have it be safe?
Yes and no, because you might load some silly game on your phone that actually is going to do banking credential scraping, and that does happen, and we have article after article. So
what
is safe?
To stay away from, but I didn't think it would be $500.
No, I know.
Yeah. I'm looking for a computer, too. So, I mean, that's what I was saying. Is there a person that would coordinate if I were to jump in and do, okay, I need this for my banking. I don't have a laptop or a desk. At all.
Sherry.
I need a new phone and a phone service.
We're coming up against a heartbreaker. Hang on, we're going to hold you over. We'll be right back.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.